King County Library System is proud to sponsor this content. If you want to find out more information on this topic, check out your local King County Library. Find the one near you at kcls.org. Celebrating 75 years of service to King County. That's kcls.org.
A Wednesday morning, a scratchy record, it can only mean one thing. Felix Bonnell has emerged from the vault deep beneath the Bonneville Broadcast Center. If you've taken the Seattle Underground Tour or you've ridden a local duck boat, you know something about the Great Seattle Fire, which started 129 years ago today. But there were two other fires that summer that you feel we should be aware of. Felix, by the way, is brought to us by the King County Library System. And one of them, I'm guessing, based on the book you just handed me called Spokane Saga, happened in Spokane.
Yeah, the only of the three fires we'll talk about, two have inspired a romance novel, kind of a pulpy novel from the 1950s, as you can tell by the cover there.
But, Spokane Saga, the rebuilding of a city destroyed by Zola Ross.
Sort of a pot boiler there, kind of the heaving bosom kind of fire. So there's
that.
Not one about Seattle, unfortunately, but that fires in those days were almost a form of urban renewal. Those pioneer cities of the 1850s and 1860s were wiped out, allowing a fresh start for a more modern metropolis. So, you know, the cities in those days were mostly wood, right? And the wood had been curing for many years. It was like stacked like cordwood. Seattle's fire began with a boiling pot of glue on a stove and a carpenter's efforts to try to put the fire out, which was a bad idea to dump water on it, spread to the sawdust. Now, you know that big colorful mural of the fire at Mohai?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was dedicated back in 1953 at the old Mohai in Montlake. And on that occasion, somebody had the bright idea to assemble a panel of eyewitnesses to the 1889 fire, which at that point was only 64 years in the past, which would be like 1954, which doesn't seem that long ago to me.
No.
Anyway, radio station KXA, which is actually our sister station KTTH, was there that day, and they were smart enough to record the memories for posterity. I stumbled across those recordings back in 2000 in the archives at Mohai. There's cuts of Charles Thorndike. He was 83 or 84 when he shared his memories of the fire. He was 20 years old on June 6, 1889, and on the job just north of Madison Street.
I was working in a hardware store operated by P. Haynes at 1007 Front Street, which was a block and three or four doors north of where the fire started. We didn't think the fire was going north. We felt for an hour after its start that it was headed south and would not come our way, but soon we found the smoke coming up through the boards and planks which covered the piles and on which the store building was built. The smoke and the flames began to come up, and then we took the movable stores out of the building and carried them across the street at the corner of northeast corner of First and Madison Street.
Yeah, and I love hearing that scratchy old recording. That's just sets my day off right. Spring of 1889 was one of those warm, dry seasons we seem to get every decade or so, where May is hot and dry. Not like this year. We've had one of these maybe 5 or 6 years ago. You get that high-pressure winds from the north all the time. That's why the fire mostly burned south of First and Madison where it started, but it also creeped north as well, as far north as University in some parts, and mostly bounded by 2nd and 3rd Avenue. Fire department was all volunteer in those days. The chief was out of town on June 6th. He was the best qualified guy to organize a response, and the tide was out, so there's little or no access to water. Now, it was less than a month later, on July 4th, when Ellensburg caught fire. The cause of that blaze has never been satisfactorily determined, but the place it started was a grocery store on Main between 4th and 5th, if you know downtown Ellensburg at all. It was late at night. There's plenty of conspiracy theories about that fire. They've never figured out the cause, and apparently there's lots of information about who might have done it or what the reason was. It took 4 hours to burn and 4 months for the city to rebuild itself. And we have great pictures of this fire, all these fires at My Northwest, of course. It was 1 month after that, on Sunday, August 4th, when Spokane Falls caught fire in the late afternoon. And one person actually died in that fire. These other fires didn't, there were no fatalities. And that blaze in Spokane was accidental. It started in a small hotel and a restaurant on Railroad Avenue. There was a lot of shifting winds, and they blew up buildings to try to create a fire break. Mm-hmm. It was just chaotic. And all the fire departments were volunteer in those days. About 30 blocks of Spokane burned, and a tent city went up in its place. Now, this is my favorite part about the Spokane fire. All these provisions rolled into town from all over the place to sort of help the poor people of Spokane, including a lot of cured meats that apparently several members of the city government ended up stocking in their basements. And they started to call the city leaders the Ham Council, because everybody just took advantage of all these free provisions that came into town. Fortunately, they shortened the name of Spokane Falls to Spokane in 1890, not as a result of the fire, but just probably to save time. Let's get back to Charles Thorndike. He survived the fire, of course. He went back to the remains of the hardware store on June 7th.
I had just completed a few weeks of service in that store and had money enough to buy a new suit of clothes, and I was very proud of it. But in taking the material out of the store, I took off the coat and vest and put it in a desk and moved the desk across the street with the rest of the stuff. The next morning, the desk was gone, and I never got the suit of clothes back.
So I think the factors in all three fires were the fact the wood was all cured, we had that dry weather, water pressure was tough to come by in the 1880s, and all volunteer firefighter forces. Do we have time to play this last cut?
Yeah, we do.
Let's hear this last little bit. This is an unidentified woman speaking about the Great Seattle Fire.
Well, Professor Ingraham kept all the children in school, and then we were everyone cautioned to go straight home. And I went straight to the fire and stayed until a policeman found me.
Anyway.
Wow. Always seeking adventure, apparently.
Yeah, little kids always love fires.
Wow. Now, does Mohai still have that exhibit, that Seattle Fire exhibit there?
They actually had to create a smaller version of that mural for the new museum. The original mural's in storage, but they do have an exhibit dedicated to the fire because it's a seminal event of the city's history and kind of clearing away the old pioneer city and letting us build a modern metropolis.
Right.